just can't get these numbers to add up.
Like we're never gonna get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help. We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Huh. Let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless, and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, If You Don't Have the Money, Don't Buy It, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
Well, we are talking about debt today. And stop buying things that you cannot afford. As many of you are aware, those especially who are in our Sunday Connection classes, we are working through a stewardship series or a financial peace series, whatever you want to title it. And today's sermon is called Debt Dangers. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we'll be coming out of today. I personally believe when we think about debt, I believe that there is some common debt and there is some serious debt. As a young person, Mary Hannah and I have, we've been able to kind of guide ourselves through life with just going into debt this past year, a couple weeks ago. So when Brother Craig came to me and said, this is your topic, I was like, dadgummit. because we just took out a car loan to purchase a vehicle. And I'm not preaching this, and I'm not saying this is acceptable, because I think we would all agree that when we owe somebody something, any of that straps us. When we have debt or when we assume loans to pay for stuff, it puts us in a corner. It enslaves us to a certain extent where we have to continue to worry about paying back somebody. But I believe that there is some common debt, and then there's what I would call serious debt. Common debt to me is car, house, and school. I believe that most people are going to take out car loans because of the fact that they don't have, you know, $20,000 to $40,000 to pay for a car, for a home. You know, most homes these days are anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 to build a house and to have a nice place to live. And most people don't just have that money, that saved money, in their account, ready to just purchase the home. And I think for school, and some of you may disagree with me, for school, I think that school loans are okay as long as you're wise enough to begin to pay on those school loans while you're in school. As long as you're disciplined enough to work while you're going to school and you work towards paying some of those school loans off as you're going through. The reason I think that this is common debt and somewhat acceptable debt, and we know that some of us are going to enter into this kind of debt, because for us, sharing our story, the reason that we purchased the car is because Mary Hannah's vehicle was a 1999 Toyota Camry that had 280,000 miles on it. It wasn't a safe vehicle for her to be driving back and forth to work. And I'll sell it to you. So it wasn't a safe vehicle for her to get back and forth to work. And I wanted to put her in a more safer vehicle where she could get back and forth to work. And I wouldn't have to worry about her breaking down. The car's just old. And so there's acceptable situations that I think that we can agree where when you're in that situation where you can provide a safer vehicle for that person to drive, or if you can get in not necessarily a nicer home, but maybe a bigger home. Maybe you've outgrown your home to a certain extent, and you want to kind of upgrade from the standpoint of more bedrooms, to give yourself some more space so you're not on top of each other. And again, school to me is a situation of debt where you're furthering yourself. In society today, maybe it's not always the case. A better degree means a better job. We've seen that. But a lot of times, if you have a degree, you qualify yourselves for some things that maybe you wouldn't qualify yourself for elsewhere. If you didn't have that. And so, to me, that allows you to get a degree, to possibly get a better job, to better your family, to not live week to week. So those are some common debt things. But I think serious debt, when you look at serious debt, I think credit cards, I think that toys, from the position of boat, four-wheelers, you know, all these different things, I think that's serious debt. Gambling, entertainment, vacations, I think that those are things that we have to be a little bit more wise about. When we're taking out loans or we're maxing out credit cards to go on vacation, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the most wisest thing that we can do. Not even just as believers, but just as people. I think that these things can get us into trouble. They can trap us. We talked this past Wednesday about being enslaved to something, being a slave to something. And I think that you can be a slave to debt, that you can get in so far into debt that that's constantly what you're worried about paying off. And you're not worried about so many other things that you can do. So this morning, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. They say this. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, and into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." So let me say this. For some of you, you've gone through this in Sunday Connection. This is the second time that you're hearing this morning. And I'm hoping that I maybe give a little bit more insight, that I go in a little bit more depth than maybe Sunday school, or maybe I even take a different angle. So I hope that you stay with me. You don't check out just because you've heard some of this already. But the first thing that I think that we can do as far as handling our money well and using our money well is the first point this morning is a content heart. Look at verses 6 through 8 again in 1 Timothy 6. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." This is key right here. "But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content." You know, getting out of debt for some of us is going to require us to live a simple life for a little while. It's going to make us live with just the necessities of the essentials, and the essentials in Scripture is telling us that's food and clothing. And I think that a lot of times when a person or individual dives into debt, they begin to spend and they begin to live outside of their means to a certain extent. And what happens is food and clothing isn't enough. They want more. They need more. And they do what they have to get those items or to get those things. And so this morning, as we look at this, for some of us, we're just going to have to live the simple life is what I would call it. The simple life for a little while. Food and clothing is what we need to worry about as we dig ourselves out of the hole that we placed ourselves into by bad spending habits. You know, for others, we've made decisions where we're in debt now because we chose to make these purchases or chose to do these things that we thought would make things more easy, right? We would maybe purchase this item or do this or get a loan for this because this will make life more simpler. This will make life more easy, more smooth, and it ended up just really creating more troubles, creating a little bit more difficulties, creating a little bit more financial stress in your life. I know that talking about financial stuff isn't the most joyous and exciting thing when it comes to the church life, but I shared this with my Sunday school class a couple weeks ago. Money and giving and tithing is one of the biggest topics in all throughout Scripture. That's what Jesus talks about some of the most. So it's important that we work through this, and that even that we hold one another accountable as husband and wife, as a family, as a church body, because I believe that in Christ, he wants us to experience freedom. And I feel like that some of that freedom that we have in Christ is quenched when we're steadily and constantly focusing on paying off what we owe to somebody else. Because I think ultimately our worship is being able to give to him, being able to give to the church, and also being able to give to others. I know that before Mary Hannah got the job as a school teacher, it wasn't that we didn't have money, but we only had money really to pay our bills and to save a little bit for ourselves. We really weren't able to do anything for other people. And I didn't feel, it wasn't a great feeling because I felt like that was part of worship. It was loving one another, and part of loving one another was giving to one another and giving of what I had and what I had to offer. And I think that when we look at this, Colossians 3:5 says this. It says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry." Something that I want to point out to you this morning is that last one, idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. And greed leads to purchasing in items and purchasing stuff and purchasing things that some of us cannot afford. It leads us to a platform where we begin to maybe take out loans, we begin to swipe credit cards and purchase things because greedy, maybe we want to look a little bit better than we are, maybe we want to look like we have more than what we truly have. I remember there was a neighborhood that I so desperately wanted to live in when I was growing up. It was where the rich kids lived, and it was Eagle Harbor in Fleming Island, Florida. And I remember my mom saying this. I'm like, everybody's rich over there. We need to move there. And my mom said, "Sweetie, don't get it confused. A lot of them are just in a lot of debt." And that's the true story. A lot of them moved into a situation where they said, "You know what? I want to look as if I have a lot of things. I want to look as if I have a lot of money. I want to put off this idea, this reputation of we're not struggling financially." When ultimately, a lot of them were in debt up to their eyeballs because they continued to assume loans and they continued to make these purchases that ultimately they could not afford. An example of this that I think that we can learn for is if you look at the Ten Commandments, they start with putting God first and they end with putting God first. It said the first one is, the first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." And the last is, "You shall not covet." It is important as believers that we are content with what we have. I think this backs what Brother Craig said that last week and taught on, was that what we have is a blessing from the Lord. And sometimes we reach and we stretch because we desire to have more than what the Lord's blessed us with. And I think that if we have the essentials, I think 1 Timothy 6 is saying, be content with that. Be good with that. Use what you have to honor the Lord. I remember a friend of mine. At 17 years old, his name was Caleb. I grew up in student ministry with him. We got in a lot of trouble in church together. We did some crazy stuff. But Caleb, at the age of 16, he decided that he'd been bussing tables at Texas Roadhouse. And if you've ever bussed tables before, you know that it isn't the highest paying job in the world. And so Caleb's like, "You know what? I want a new Jeep." I'm like, "Okay, cool. Get you a new Jeep." So he and his dad go to the dealership. He purchases a Jeep that's maybe 3 or 4 years old. Good condition, looked good. And he drove it for a year or so. And his dad co-signed on the loan. And at 16 years old, Caleb was making payments on a loan. The next year, Caleb decided he wanted a motorcycle. Caleb got what Caleb wanted. His daddy couldn't co-sign because I guess that he had too much debt. And so Caleb had to find somebody else to co-sign with him to pay for this motorcycle and to purchase this motorcycle. It was greed. He wanted these things that ultimately and truthfully he could not afford. A year later, 2 years down the road, Caleb's Jeep was parked under a truck or a tree because it was broken down. No longer worked. For the next 5 years, I saw Caleb pay off that Jeep, a Jeep that he couldn't drive. The next 3 or 4 years, he was struggling trying to pay off this motorcycle. At age 16, he made a decision based off of greed and desire to be somebody and look at like somebody that he really wasn't, and purchase these big-ticket items so that he was able to kind of put off this reputation of, look at the money that I have. Look at what I have. And I think that sometimes the church is so guilty of this, we find our identity in our bank accounts and in our possessions. And we find insecurity in that. And that's why a lot of times that we continue to spend or we continue to stockpile these things, because we're not comfortable with who God's made us. We're not comfortable with what God's given us. Therefore, we go and continue to try to make something that we're not. And I think that is so vital that we see that greed can lead us to financial stress. And if we're not careful, it can become an idol in our lives, and we will get ourselves so far away from the Lord because we're worshiping these things or these possessions or this money that we're no longer worshiping God. I think that a content heart, to me, it shows dependence on somebody other than yourself. And I think that as far for followers of Christ, that somebody is Jesus. I think when we live a life of contentment, we're not saying that we wouldn't desire, we don't desire to have these things. And I'm not preaching against vacation or having toys, but I think that there's a wise way to go about it. But I think as a follower of Christ, we tell the rest of the world, when we're content with what we have, we're content because we're in Christ. And because ultimately we trust the fact that his blood and the price that he paid for us is enough for us, but it's also enough for as we go through life, because we realize he designed us, he created us, and what he's blessed us with is good enough for me, and it should be good enough for you. So as we move through this, a content heart is so important for somebody who is in debt or who is thinking about going into debt. The second thing this morning, a cautious spirit. A cautious spirit. Verse 9 says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." Let me say this. For sometimes the church, we have a tendency and we have a reputation to look at rich people and be like, you know, put our nose up to them, talk about them. They have all this stuff. And what we need to get from this is, what is condemned in this scripture is not necessarily the desire to be rich. It's not even necessarily the desire to have material things. Because as we can understand as human beings, a rich person or having material things, when used in the right way, they can be used for the glory of God. And so that's not what this is teaching. What is being taught here is the desire to be rich leads one to fall into temptation. This in turn results in the love of money, which Paul identifies as the root of all kinds of evil. So it's this temptation. If you want, you're going to have a desire. You're going to be tempted to continue to seek and to purchase those things. And when you begin to seek and purchase those things, it goes back to what we just talked about. It becomes an idol. We begin to make it something bigger than God, and we begin to worship that rather than worship God. Many of you know I watch ESPN like all the time, and there is a documentary, a show called 30 for 30. Some of you may have watched it. Awesome. If you ever get a chance to watch it, you don't even like sports. It's not even necessarily just about sports. It's kind of about the life of players. They did a 30 for 30. It was an hour and a half long show, and the title of it was called Broke. Broke. And I'm like, man, this is going to be good. What's this about? I sat down. I was glued to this TV. The basis of what this whole 30 for 30 talked about was 2 to 3 years after these multimillionaire players retire, they file for bankruptcy. 2 to 3 years after. And it's because of greed. It's because of idolatry. One of the guys, he played quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes. He went on and played, I want to say, was it Boomer? No, I can't think of his name. He had 26 cell phones on his phone bill. He didn't know who all of them were. He was paying other people's grocery bills. He didn't even know that he was doing that. One of the guys said, he said he played baseball, and he said, He said, you know, baseball is a little bit of a smaller team than maybe basketball is even smaller, but than football. And so when you come into the locker room, what one person has, you want to outdo them. If you're making the most money on the team, you want the biggest watch, the biggest jewelry, and the nicest car in the parking lot. He said there would be situations where players would drive in a Lamborghini, and the next week another player would go purchase a nicer vehicle than he had or a newer vehicle than he had because they wanted to make that statement of, I got money, and I got more money than you. And so what happened was, and this is what the scripture's teaching, is the desire to be rich led to a temptation and a desire to spend on things that, yeah, they may have money for, but it wasn't wise. It wasn't a good decision. We allow the desires to be rich, or maybe just what our mindset would say, the desires to be comfortable in our opinions, to trap us. Some of these traps are these. A, spending on wants before needs. Spending on wants before needs. Proverbs 21:17 says, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. I think that this is a struggle in most people's lives, that we think we need something, and ultimately it's really a want, it's really a desire. I know that I'm guilty of this. I will say that I need this, but really I don't need it. I just want it, and I desire it. And I'll end up purchasing it, and 2 weeks later, I'll be like, why did I buy this? Why did I even get this? I'm not even using it as much as I thought that I would use. There are many things that we think that we need that we really can live without. So I think that's a big issue. That's a big problem with debt is there's a lot of things that we think that we need, but really they boil down to just being something that we desire to have that we don't really need. Another thing is poor planning. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Planning is huge. And what's sad is there's, even as believers, there's a lot of times that we purchase things, maybe big ticket items, we have no absolute clue how we're going to pay it back. We have no clue how we're going to get this money and save this money or each month make this payment so that we can pay this off. My dad and I were talking this morning and we were talking about the subject of debt and something I remember him telling me when I was younger and he just kind of reassured me today is have a 3-day rule. If you're going to purchase something, Joey was telling me this as I was going through purchasing a car. He said, don't purchase it the night that you go there. He said, walk away. Think about it, consider it, understand, know that if you have a plan to pay this back, how you're going to pay it back, what ways are you going to pay it back, do you even have enough money to purchase that thing? Because I think sometimes you're like, we can figure it out. I'll get a better job. You know, I'll do this, I'll make some moves, and we're making purchases that truly we have no clue how we're going to pay the money back. We have no clue how we're going to get to the point where we're not enslaved to that bondage of debt anymore. See, live beyond your means, living beyond your means. Too often we attempt to live a lifestyle that we cannot really afford. Now let me say this, in love. If you cannot afford your groceries, you do not need to go out and purchase a $30,000 boat. Okay? That's the struggle that I see with this, is that there are so often, I guess it would go back to greed and idolatry, there's so often that we try to live outside of the means of what we can afford. And ultimately, it boils down to being somebody we want to put off that who we are. And we're struggling and scrapping to provide for our family, but yet we have a boat and we have these toys and we have these things and we're going and doing all these trips or we're eating out and we can't afford to really even provide and do the things that we need to do for our family. And so I think living within your means is so important. It's so crucial because when you get outside of your means, you begin to become into financial stress because you're purchasing things and you're living a lifestyle that truly you cannot afford. I'm guilty of this last one, never having enough. Never having enough. We don't have enough clothes, enough cars, enough toys, and this trap leads us to purchasing unneeded stuff that traps us financially. I think that for me, it's shoes. I know that's weird, and some of you guys are judging me right now. And I enjoy a fresh pair of kicks. I don't know. It's just I like nice shoes. I remember my mom growing up; she would like it was like one pair of shoes a school year, And like I would always wear those things down, but like it only matched like two outfits. I like looking fresh going to school. And I couldn't do it because my shoes didn't match all the time. And so we have that mindset. We have that mindset where we don't have enough. I need more of this. I need to get this because I don't have enough of this, or I need to grab this. And it boils down. We're blessed to live right next to Caring Hands. And I think a lot of times about, I look at my closet and I'm like, I don't have anything to wear. I don't know what to wear. And like Tuesday mornings, a lot of times I walk out of the house and I'm like, it humbles me a little bit because I realize my wants and my is not really a need for me. I'm blessed. I have a good job. We have a nice home. We have closets that are full of material possessions that other people don't have. So when I look at that, warnings and desires and not never having enough can be a trap that leads us into financial stress. Let me show you a picture of a guy. This is Ryan Broyles. Some of you might have heard of his story. Awesome, awesome story. Ryan Broyles plays for the Detroit Lions. He signed a rookie contract 3 years ago. He's in his third year of his rookie contract. He signed that rookie contract for $3.68 million to play 3 years of football. That's awesome. Some of us are like, I'd take that right now. Don't let it be an idol. Ryan made a decision. After planning, after talking with his wife, he made a decision that he would love football to be his last job. He said, "After, if it's 3 years, if I'm done this year, or if I'm able to play 10 more years, I would love football to be my last job. I would love never have to work again." Ryan Broyles made a decision. He made a commitment to his wife, his family. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to live off of $60,000 a year. We're going to invest part of the money. And we're going to save the rest of it. He said he still drives a Trailblazer that he had in college. His wife drives a Camry with like 90,000 miles on it. And he said, I don't care. When I pull up in the parking lot where all the players park and all these, I don't care. Because I realize at the end of the day, I'm making financial decisions. I'm planning so where after football, I can live comfortably. He's living well within his means and living at $60,000 a year. And it's a respectable story because we see so many athletes talking back about that 30 for 30. We see so many athletes or people of his caliber who have that kind of money who just kind of blow it. They got 14 houses. They got 15 cars. You know, they have all these things that they don't need, and they live this lifestyle. And I think that if he can resist the temptation to not spend, live and spend all this money as he holds on to it, I think that whatever salary or whatever we're making financially, we can do the same thing. We can plan, and we can have a content heart. And we can be good with what we have as we go through and not strapping ourselves financially. And the last thing that I want you to see this morning is that to get out of debt, we have to have a correct view of money. Verse 10 in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy 6 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Understand that there is a connection between false teaching and the desire to be rich. There always has been for the church from the very beginning. The warning here is not simply that the love of money is harmful, but that it has led some to deny the faith, showing themselves to be unbelievers. It goes back to greed. It goes back to idolatry. That there is people who claim to be followers of Christ who allow money to drive them, to direct them. And I've known people, I've seen people who will literally do whatever they can to get another dollar. And they allow money to run them. It's not about family. It's not about their faith. It's not about anything else. It's about getting to the end of the day and having more money in their bank account or being able to purchase more things. And when this becomes a driving factor, this becomes a temptation in our lives that will kind of steer us away from the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. I think that what the scripture's teaching is that though we think that these material things, we think that more money is going to make us happier, ultimately it's not. Just as as people place their faith and their trust in so many different things, and it comes to a dead end, it comes to a bottomless pit, money and purchasing things and possessing stuff is only going to lead to that same dead end and that same end of the road. And debt is a serious thing, and I think that as a church, we have to treat it as a serious thing. And there are ways to overcome the financial situation that some of you are in. The first thing is to put God first. I know that sometimes we get super spiritual, some people say, but ultimately, if God is first in our lives, we're going to consider what this will strap us down, how this will hold us back from giving to the Lord, and how this will hold us back from giving to others. And so putting God first is recognizing that God owns everything that we have, and that what we possess and what we are going to possess and what we are able to do with our lives, God has blessed us with that. Therefore, when we put God first, we're not even just showing trust in Him, but we're allowing others to realize that He is most important to us. So putting God first in the life of somebody who is not in debt is important, but even in the life of somebody who is in debt, because spending is a direct result of selfishness a lot of times. And so when we continue to dig ourselves into debt, whether it's credit card or whether it's loans, whatever it is, it's a sign of I need more, I want more, instead of God, you've blessed me with enough. And I can be content and I can rest in that. A second thing is analyze your situation. I think this is where we struggle, because we struggle with being honest with ourselves sometimes. We don't want to admit that an issue is as big as it is, or we don't want to admit that somebody is as far off as they are far off. And what happens is we look at our financial situation with almost like a lens that doesn't show the flaws. And we look at it and we're like, it's not that bad. We're right where we needed to be. We're right where we projected. And I think that if we were to sit down and really do an honest evaluation of our finances, we would realize that there's probably some struggles there, that we aren't getting out of debt, or we aren't paying this off as fast as we'd like to, or we aren't being able to do the things that we would like to do when it comes to our faith. We aren't able to give and give of ourselves because we're constantly either having to work to pay off debt, or we're constantly trying to use our efforts and our times to pay off the credit cards that we've racked up. Honesty is key. Do an honest evaluation of your finances. For some of you, you don't have debt. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. But there's others who this is a real struggle for this morning, and something that needs to be approached. The third thing is stop borrowing. For some of you, right as soon as you leave, you guys need to go have a bonfire tonight and throw your credit cards in the bonfire. Because it's too much of a temptation for you. It's too much of a struggle for you. You can't have those. You can't possess those in a wise manner. You can't use them in a wise way. It's a temptation for you. For the ladies out there, and it's not just the ladies, but for the ladies who, when you go to Target and Old Navy and they're like, you can get 10% off if you sign up for a credit card, stop. Stop doing that. Because really what happens is, you get 10% off, which a lot of times that's just saving you the tax, okay? And then ultimately you have that credit card and it becomes a temptation. And what happens is what was 10% off has cost you a whole lot more money because you signed up that day and they trapped you. Don't feel bad for saying no. They get it said a lot of times. And lastly, make a payback plan. For some of us, we don't have a plan. We don't know where we're going. We don't know how we're going to get this done. Some of you need to get professional help because you need professional help to say, these are my finances. This is what I bring in. This is the debt that I'm in. Help me come up with a plan. Help me come up a way that I can make double payments. Help me with a way that I can get the highest interest gone first. Help me with this. Don't be scared to ask for help because in your financial situation, it can trap you. You can become a slave to that. And when you become a slave to that, when you become trapped by that, you aren't able to worship in the way that I believe that we are called to worship as believers. We don't experience that freedom that I think Christ truly wants us to experience. I recognize this morning that some of you are handcuffed, you're trapped. Some of you aren't. And some of you are ready to get to a spot where you can say, you know what, Lord, here, take this. I'm ready to give this to you. I'm ready to give you this situation. Some of you are like, God, here's what I have. Here's what I have financially. Let me give this to you because I want to continue to please and honor you. Some of you are ready to love one another in a way that you haven't ever been able to because you've constantly been strapped down financially and you haven't been able to maybe purchase some Christmas gifts for a family who is in need. Maybe you haven't been able to help somebody who is in need. And you haven't been able to experience that freedom in Christ to do some of those things that I believe that God wants us to be able to do. My encouragement to you is to be careful, wise, be honest, be faithful. The Lord has the ability to guide you through this trap that some of you are in. And a Christ-like mindset will allow you to move from financial stress to financial freedom, as it takes the focus off of us and places it on Jesus. This morning, it wasn't so much of a gospel presentation, but some of you are in the financial stress that you're in, you're in the financial situation that you're in, because merely you don't have a relationship with Christ, and it is all about you. So you spend and you make the decisions you make because selfishly you're focused on self. Today, I want to extend an opportunity for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do not confuse what I'm saying. I'm not saying you come to Christ, your debt is gone. But the debt of sin is gone. And that's something that money, that's something that possessions cannot do. And so as you're in here and you're in this place this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Brother Craig and I will be down front in just a few moments and we'd love to show you in God's word what it means to truly follow Christ, what it truly means to be in Christ and to have that attitude of worship, to have that attitude of not being focused on self. For some of you this morning, you don't need to sing a lyric to the song. You just need to spend this time in prayer, praying for yourself, praying that God will give you a vision, give you a plan, give you direction as how you can overcome the financial stress, how you can overcome the financial situation that you're in because you become a slave to it. For some of you, you're addicted to spending. That's a true addiction. That's a real addiction. And you've become addicted to that, and you do not know where to go. You don't know how to move. If you'd like to, Brother Craig and I will be down front. We would love to pray with you, encourage you in that situation, to put it in the Lord's hands and to come up with a way to overcome that. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given us. God, I ask you that in this time, God, that we will allow the Holy Spirit to move. God, that we will allow your presence to be felt. God, we will allow, we will direct our hearts towards you as we sing a song to worship, God, as we come to you in prayer, God, that you will heal some of these situations that people who are in financial stress, who are burdened financially, Lord. God, that you will allow them to overcome that through your strength and their understanding of who you are and the desire of placing their identity in you. Lord, if there's somebody in here this morning that doesn't know you, God, let them surrender their lives today. Let them take care by accepting you as their Lord and Savior, God. Let them go ahead and take care of letting you clear one of their debts. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.